Hi, I'm Steve Lascazo, and this is The Way, Phase 4, a discussion podcast for everything Marvel, Marvel Cinematic Universe, TV Universe, everything going forward after the debut of WandaVision in January of 2021. Today, I'm talking about WandaVision Season 1, Episode 2. And if you'd like to take part in future podcasts, all you have to do is send me some feedback to thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com or at me at thewayphase4 on Twitter. And you can also look for us now on Facebook. We do have a page. It's very young. It's very early. But you can look for us there, too, and try to interact with us. So send us that feedback if you have it.
Previously on WandaVision.
So Season 1, Episode 2 left off pretty much where Season 1, Episode 1 left off. And if it sounds weird me saying that over and over again, it's because they don't have episode names, at least not yet. It's just Episode 1, Episode 2, not very similar to The Mandalorian, which gave us chapters and title names in the title cards. This is a little different. It's just Episode 1, Episode 2, and we left off pretty much last episode, which also debuted on January 15th, 2021. Wanda and Vision had successfully made it through a 50s, early 60s style dinner with Vision's boss, Arthur Hart, and the boss's wife. Though they both needed to use their powers to keep the tropes alive. There were a lot of 50s and 60s television tropes going on in the episode. And the Vision even apparently saved Arthur's life after he began choking on breakfast for dinner. No one appears to be completely comfortable in the world that someone or something created. But even more so, no one wants to ruin the illusion. Or the glamour of this lifestyle, so to speak. In addition to Arthur and his wife, we've met Norm, Jones, and Agatha so far, but it's not really clear if anyone is who they claim to be or seem to be. After all, this alternate reality may just be a TV show for someone from S.W.O.R.D. who's watching and taking notes. Now, if you're familiar with The Mandalorian, I gave a real deep dive into every episode. I recapped every scene, every little detail, but I don't know Marvel that well, so I can't really go into it shot by shot, but I will try to draw attention to where I think is important, things I think are important, details that I find or may just see on a second watch or first watch and just be curious about. Something that helps me with a theory that I might have, stuff like that. So if I do miss something or skip a scene, you feel free to let me know. But it may be just because I'm not really interested in it, or just it just didn't have anything that I thought was particularly interesting. But it seems like everything might be important, even down to the smallest details. So we're just going to have to try to do our best. So the season opener had some scenes, and the season 1, episode 2 opener had a previously on WandaVision scene. So I will talk about it briefly. It mentioned her, Wanda, talking about, "We're an unusual couple, you know," while they're driving. And then Vision said, "My wife and her flying saucers." And Wanda replied, "My husband and his indestructible head." Agnes introduced herself. She said, "Hello, dear. I'm Agnes, your neighbor to the right." I think it was Norm said, "You're like a walking computer." And Vision at work said, "You know what? I most certainly am not." Of course, he kind of is. Vision remarks, "Dinner with Mr. Hart and his dear lady wife, Mrs. Hart." And you see kind of a scene of them being brought home, because that was the main problem of the episode, was that Wanda didn't know that they were coming home. She thought it was their anniversary, and Vision ended up bringing the boss and his wife home. And then the wife at dinner asked, "What brought you here? How long have you been married? Why did you come here?" And that was another interesting thing. She rattled off a whole bunch of questions at dinner. And there's more than just those three questions. In fact, they ask about the kids, but they don't mention it in the previously on, so maybe that's important. And then Mr. Hart starts to choke after he says, "Damn it, why? And he starts to choke, and then we have that weird scene of Mrs. Hart saying, stop it. And then Wanda commands, basically, Vision, says, "Vision, help him." And that's when he reaches in and grabs the food out of his throat. And then the previously on ends like the episode did, with the SWORD agent closing the book, a notebook maybe, on episode one, and the TV show that they seem to be watching or tuning into. So that's where the previously on ends. And then we have the Marvel Studios title sequence, but this time it doesn't decolorize like it did in the first one. And we don't start on the theme song, but it's still in black and white, at least for the majority of this episode. So it was interesting that they didn't choose to decolorize it again. It just goes right into the episode. In fact, there's a cold open. Wanda and Vision, separate beds. There was a bump in the night, and that would seem to only be Branch hitting the window, but it's a very interesting sequence because Vision appears afraid. Wanda doesn't have any qualms about using her powers, even for tiny things. You know, when they're alone, she'll use her powers for just about anything. Vision mentions in bed how people at work are starting to talk about strange people moving in, and he doesn't seem to understand or get. And Wanda seems to get it. She's like, I wonder if they're talking about us. You know, they have a conversation about that a little bit. She seizes on the opportunity of the noise to redecorate. She first places their beds together. She moves them together. There's two single beds, and she moves them together. And then she makes it one whole king-size bed. She shuts out the lights, and then they head under the covers. And that seems to come into play later, because that might be the quote-unquote conception of the later part of the episode. And then we get the title sequence. It's a really evocative sequence of a couple of different series from the 50s and or late 50s, 60s, maybe early 70s, I'm not sure. Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie, I think it's late 60s. It's very Bewitched in the animation style, but also a little I Dream of Jeannie. And then the jingle, WandaVision, WandaVision, sounds a little to me like it was trying to bring in that I Dream of Jeannie flavor. At the end of the title sequence, when Wanda and Vision are on the couch with popcorn, Agnes appears by herself at the door. And Norm and Jones, who we the audience met in episode one, appear in the window. But they appear with three others that we will meet in the episode. And remember the popcorn that's in her lap too. There's a other couple of Marvel Easter eggs, I believe, in the title sequence. But for right now, it's not something I can speculate on, because I really don't know too much about like the Marvel history and stuff. I do want to mention that the composers Robert Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez have done a great job with the first two episode theme songs. They wrote the songs for Frozen, among other things, for Disney. So they did a great job, and I wonder if episode three they'll do the same. If maybe it's a constantly evolving thing where the theme song changes along with the title sequence, it might be pretty interesting. So then we get into the regular episode. Vision is practicing magic for a talent show, and Wanda says, Fred and Linda are building a moat and a fully functional portcullis, because Vision is wondering if his cabinet of mysteries is a little bit too much. He calls himself Illusion, Master of Enigma, and calls Wanda his captivating assistant, Glamour. And glamour is something that is referred to in the magical world as being like a... maybe a magical spell that it's kind of like pulling the wool over somebody's eyes. It's something that's supposed to be so spectacular that they don't notice the details, or they don't notice, you know, really small things, because they're so enamored and the glamour is so bright and amazing that they don't notice stuff that's going on. The image on the front of the Cabinet of Mysteries looks a little bit like an Infinity Stone. It's a hexagon, an elongated hexagon in the middle. Vision, he's a little concerned that the act is too obvious. But Wanda says pretty direct, like, that's the whole point.
In a real magic act, everything is fake.
So she's trying to conceal her power, trying to appear normal. while Vision says, oh, I don't think that should be a problem, while pointing to his face. And then the laugh track stops. And Wanda says, this is our home now. I want us to fit in. It's almost like this is one of those peeks into reality from this alternate reality that she's created. She's telling him pretty directly, like, this is our home now. I want us to fit in. That's her goal, is to fit in. So then Wanda has to go to a planning committee meeting for this talent show. And then Vision's off to a neighborhood watch meeting, and he puts on a sweater and goes. Wanda hears what sounds like a lawnmower. A little bit, but then she hears a crash. So she goes outside to her front pathway, goes all the way down to the front hedges, and she picks up a helicopter. Now she goes to the front hedges, so it's like the barrier of her home, right? The hedges out front near the fence are basically like the barrier of her home. So maybe this helicopter, because it's red and yellow, even in the black and white universe, it's red and yellow. It's got a sword emblem on it. And the number 57. And so I'm thinking that this is an actual helicopter that tried to go through the barrier or got close to the barrier of this world and crashed through. And that's based on the trailers. Like, if I wouldn't have necessarily put two and two together if there weren't the trailers out there. That's really clear that we're supposed to pay attention to this helicopter. While she's looking at it, she's surprised by her neighbor to the right, Agnes.
Look, it's the star of the show.
Agnes!
And she's all smiles. But she surprises her while she's looking at this helicopter. I think she's in. She's got to be in on it because she's helping redirect Wanda from this image, this helicopter, which is clearly making her start to doubt things or wonder things. And then, you know, she distracts her by saying, look, it's the star of the show. She doesn't say, look, it's, you know, Wanda, my neighbor Wanda. She's not even dressed in her outfit at this point. So it's not like she came out in her outfit and she could say, look, it's the star of the show. Clearly, Agnes knows that they're doing the talent contest, but it's very odd. It's almost like she's in her mind. You know, it's like, you know, that she knows that they had just practiced it. Because otherwise, that's a really out of context thing to say. Now, from this encounter, Wanda is literally holding color in her hands. Agnes not only ignores her, but seems to redirect her back to the delusion that she's living in that sitcom, right? So that's the other thing about Star of the Show. She's helping her get back into that sitcom. So it appears that either Agnes is in control, or she's maybe an agent of the one in control for whatever's happening in Westview there. Agnes suddenly produces her rabbit, Senor Scratchy. Old Scratch is a thing that people used to call the devil. But then she says that she mentions her cat played baby Jesus, which is a very strange thing to mention. I don't know what time of year this is supposed to be taking part. This particular episode is taking part, but it's just a very strange thing to say. And it really, to me, highlights the difference between Old Scratch or Senior Scratchy and, you know, Senor Scratchy, Senior Scratchy, Old Scratch, and then Jesus. So there's clearly it was like hitting a nail on the head right there. And then Dennis, so she goes inside, Wanda goes inside. Dennis, the mail carrier, walks by, has a momentary interaction, just a really brief interaction, like, stick him up. And just a very weird, like, oh, you know, don't shoot the messenger. And Agnes kind of like looks at him funny. And I mean, kind of looks him up and down. But it's more of like, you know, what are you doing here? You know, what kind of message are you trying to send here? So then Wanda returns. Agnes ushers her off. Like, she doesn't want her to waste any more time with the helicopter or anything. Someone is clearly trying to make contact from the outside world, I think. And if we didn't already know the character Wanda and Vision, and all we knew was this universe, besides being confused at this point, we wouldn't necessarily know that there is an outside world. I mean, the helicopter would definitely probably be something that we would give us a clue, because it's not like an old-timey helicopter. It's like a more modern design, but Wanda doesn't seem to want to fully grasp it. She wants to kind of stay in this delusion. Agnes and Wanda, they're off to see the Queen Cul-de-Sac. Dottie and her merry homemakers, Agnes calls her. She mentions that her roses bloom under penalty of death. Not really sure what that was about. Definitely seems to that. I mean, maybe this is an important character. Agnes gives some serious friendly advice, which is basically like she's like, be careful. This is your ticket to this reality working. She drops a line about schools and she points to Wanda's belly. So it's almost like she knows like, oh yeah, you got kids or something. Or at the very least, she's trying to focus her like on, you know, hey, let's start having kids. Wanda says, let's not get ahead of ourselves. And Agnes is like, you know, make sure you put on a good face or whatever. Wanda says, maybe she can just be herself. And Agnes actually appears to break character for a minute. She seems to be concerned at the thought that Wanda would just be herself. And then she has a moment where she laughs it off. She looks really concerned, and then she starts laughing about it. Like, oh, Wanda, you're so ridiculous or something. And then we move to the scene at the country club or the community pool, wherever they're having the meeting. And Wanda is mimicking Dottie in everything that she does. Like, she's mixing a drink or something. And so Wanda is doing exactly... She's trying to do exactly what Dottie does. And an as-yet-unnamed person is detailing the Rotary Club setup. Dottie then insults her for not knowing about the chairs. Like, she asks, like, what about the chairs? And the woman doesn't know. So she says, the devil is in the details, Bev. Which, all right, so her name is Bev. But the devil is, again, mentioned, you know, Senor Scratchy and Jesus, baby Jesus in the play. And here we're mentioning the devil by name, you know. And in the Marvel Universe, we don't really hear about religions and things like that. It's just... very obvious to me that they're trying to draw, or at least trying to lead us down some path.
The devil's in the details, Bev.
But it's even more called out when Agnes says to Wanda, that's not the only place he is. So the devil's in the details, Bev. That's not the only place he is. Very, very interesting. And it's in the comics, Agatha Harkness, is an agent of Mephisto, which is a devilish villain in the Marvel cinematic and comic universe. I say cinematic. I'm assuming he's going to be brought in here, but he's supposed to be out for Wanda's children. Dottie's talking about everything that the show is supposed to be a sole fundraiser for the Westview Elementary, and it's all for the children. And for the children is going to be a phrase that's very often repeated during the episode. Everything seems to be directed at trying to get Wanda to think of or manifest her own children in this dream world, which might be hers, or maybe it's under control of somebody else. But there's even a creepy moment where every seems to chant for the children. And here Wanda is off time.
All of this is for the children.
For the children.
For the children.
And everybody kind of looks at her like, you're off timing or something like that. Like, it just seemed like a weird thing to me. Wanda meets a woman at the meeting, though, while this is happening, and it seems to annoy Dottie, her talking to her. The woman says the only reason she didn't clap was because she was afraid to move, and she doesn't even know what she's doing there. Now, this is the person, like, if you know the casting news of the show... she's probably was brought in by the helicopter. She seems to forget her own name when Wanda introduces herself. And then almost like it was a command to say it, she perks her head up and says, Geraldine. And it's accompanied by a music cue, almost like it was a magic spell that was performed on her.
Geraldine.
The actress is playing, of course, that we know from Kevin Feige, I guess a couple of years ago, that she is playing Monica Rambeau, which is the daughter of Maria Rambeau, who is the friend of Captain Marvel in the Captain Marvel movie. Now, Dottie, to reiterate that there seems to be a magic spell going on here, because Dottie tells them that they can clap. And the other women there instantly do. And then they stop when she says stop. Now, it could be just learned behavior, but it could be evidence of magic. And Agnes anytime she can deflect attention, she does with her little interjections.
How is anybody doing this sober?
Then we move to Vision at the public library, and there's a meeting taking place. He doesn't observe any social etiquette, doesn't get social cues. They're uncomfortable that he just kind of found them there. They're like, oh, hi, how you doing? This is kind of a private meeting. But he just tells them, I'll sit quiet until they get to new business. And then he's told they're at new business. So he starts talking, oh, great, security patrols, law enforcement, and what happens when someone breaks the law? But he's told, oh, no, new business means danishes. And he says he doesn't eat food. And then he tries to cover it by saying, oh, no, I mean between meals. The guys just don't seem as aware as Agnes seems. Agnes seems to have a little bit more of a clue about what's going on, just based on the character choices or the acting choices that the actresses make, Catherine Hahn is making, I guess. They seem a little bit more in the dark. Norm, Jones, and several others are there at the meeting. They talk about a guy named Johnson building a treehouse for his kids. Again, they mention kids. The joke is supposed to be that it's a prefab job, that it's pre-made. Of course, like, this whole universe is kind of pre-made. And then Norm mentions how Arthur's bowling trophies are fakes, bought at a yard sale in Hackensack. But, A, how would he know where? And again, here we're talking about fakes. Something in this universe is fake. Vision then tries to share a very strange piece of top-secret gossip. And unironically, he says, Norm here is a communist. Now, in that television time period, of course, people would have taken an accusation like that in a much more insulting manner or much more serious, but the guys, they just instantly laugh it off, and it appears to be an opportunity for the guys to accept, and they said, we didn't realize you were so funny, and we thought you were square. So he just calls Norm a communist, and then he's offered, hey, here's a piece of Big Red. It's not just, here's a piece of gum, it's a piece of Big Red. Right now, red, very important color. Remember, the light on the toaster in the commercial in the first episode, Wanda's magic is red, the helicopter in this episode, and then in a few minutes we're going to see blood that's actually red in the episode. But there's a risque joke made about chewing gum, and then the man who gave him the gum, who is called Herb, slaps him on the back at just the right time, and he swallows the gum. And then we, the audience, are shown an animation of the gum literally gumming up the works on his insides, which is really strange. It just seems like it's inserted there. I guess it's to point out, like, that this gum is not, he wasn't supposed to eat food, and that it's bothering his insides. So he was made in a lab by Ultron, and then his consciousness was uploaded into it, and then power was given by the Mind Stone, right? But I guess he's still at heart a mechanical being. It's just that he has really exceptional powers. He had just mentioned how Vision was all hot and bothered about protocols, and they thought he was a square. And that's when he hit him on the back, right as Vision's chewing the gum, right? So it may be that these friends that Vision is collecting are really just there to keep tabs on him. Like, their job is to keep tabs on Vision, because maybe the being that created this universe or was taunting Wanda a little bit didn't count on Vision being part of this. And it may be that Vision is just such a perfect recreation by Wanda from memory that he can't help but try and figure things out, because he's a walking computer, as like he denied in the first episode. And Wanda is the one maintaining this illusion to be with him. So he may end up at the end of this episode or this season being so independent, because he's a recreation of Vision, that he goes about solving the problem and waking Wanda from this dream world and the neighborhood watch. As Wanda fears in the beginning of the episode, they're actually there to keep an eye on him, but he might just not be able to help himself. What's really interesting to me is, where are they going to go for season two? Is there going to be a season two? This might just be a one-off season, because it doesn't seem like there's much of room to set up a season two, unless they really don't plan on revealing what happened here in season one in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because there are several movies coming out this year. And unless Wanda is not going to be part of any of them, maybe they have a second season that's timed to come out with Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Maybe the season two is all that we're going to get, and that season two will air right before Multiverse of Madness or right after it or something. But it is worth thinking about that we may not get much more of this series, because it seems like they're setting up a mystery that's going to be solved here in season one. We go back to the pool. Dada has Wanda cleaning up after her and everybody at the meeting. And Dottie says she's lucky, to be doing this, which is, I don't know, I just thought that was weird. Wanda says, you know, I want to make amends for whatever is causing Dottie to hate her. Dottie asks, and how would you do that? Kind of like I just said it, with a sneer. Wanda doesn't know how to answer. And there's a tense scene that's developing where Wanda tells Dottie she doesn't mean anyone harm. And Dottie point blank says, I don't believe you. So I'm not really sure. Is Dottie a victim here? Is she part of the charade? The show, so to speak, the WandaVision show? And that's when the radio starts getting interrupted by static. It was playing Help Me Rhonda by the Beach Boys. Or maybe it wasn't. It's a General Electric's product. Maybe it was actually playing Help Me Wanda. It's kind of garbled. It's clearly sounds like Help Me Rhonda, but if you listen to it, I couldn't help but think like Help Me Wanda, Help Me Wanda. So maybe it was just a clever thing by the writing staff to just, hey, let's just put that in there. So it's not part of it might not be part of the Westview world. That device may not be part of that world. It may be a plant from outside by some. Maybe somebody got in, planted it, and then escaped. There's a voice saying, Wanda, Wanda, can you read me over? Now, it's quick, but you can catch Dottie's face when the voice starts talking, that she seems more annoyed than surprised that a radio is talking at first. Wanda's confused, but Dottie seems like, she seems annoyed. And then they both turn to look at it on the glass table. And it does have the voice coming through before it cuts away. So it's not like she doesn't hear the voice. And then she definitely hears the voice is definitely audible. And it could just be an editing mistake where they hear the voice. But if you look at Dottie's face before they do the cutaway, you can definitely see that she's not surprised. The reason why I point that out is because it's odd, because she redirects then, maybe playing into Agnes's advice. And she asks, so then she asks with concern in her voice, and she's like shocked now all of a sudden. Who is that? Who are you? But, you know, when the voice first speaks, she's not like, she doesn't turn in her head and in disbelief that somebody's talking to her on the radio. So I think it's Wanda trying to keep the dream alive. So here, Dottie playing into that fear of being found out forces Wanda to decide to eliminate the distraction, because the voice is asking, who is doing this to you, Wanda? And it sounds a little bit like Agent Jimmy Woo, who was the guy who looked after the Ant-Man, or Scott Lang, the Ant-Man. And the radio then short circuits, and Dottie breaks the glass in her hand. Now, again, I think it's reasonable to assume that she did it on purpose, again, for redirection. Now, if you're shocked, she might. I would have thought she probably would have dropped it, which may have been like a surprise. That seemed more like anger, like a force. She gripped the glass so tightly that it cut her hand. It wasn't an outside force that did it, because the table and glasses on the table, the table which was made of glass, and then glasses which were also made of glass, were on the table, and they were all fine. It was just the radio that burnt up or sparked and blew up. You know, so Dottie was either angry or trying to redirect the focus rather than being horrified. She acts a little incredulous. And then she talks about, I mean, there's red blood on her hand. You could see the red blood through the black and white. It's still red. So I don't know a little Schindler's listing of this red blood that, you know, we're definitely supposed to be called toward, you know, our attention is supposed to be called towards it. It might have been anger, since her blood appears bright red against that black and white of the rest of the world. But then you see the radio is okay again. It's not smoking. It's not broken. It's okay again at the end of the scene. So It's very clear that some magic was taking place there, and the redirection worked. Briefly, we can talk about the WandaVision episode commercial break. It's rather than a live read like it was last week, this one is kind of like a voiceover. It's the same two actors and characters from the toaster commercial in episode one. I think it's just like Commercial Man and Commercial Woman. This time, it's a watch ad, like someone's watching you or keeping time, you know. The voiceover says, a man is never fully dressed until he has two accessories, his special lady, which is echoing the sexism of the time, and his Strucker, referring to the watch. Their watch is a Strucker watch. But Strucker, as in Hydra agent Baron von Strucker, who is keeping Pietro and Wanda Maximoff prisoner in Age of Ultron. Now, it's a short ad. There's no red in this ad, but there is a speeding up of the ticking at the end, like the speed of the toaster beep at the end of the first episode's commercial ad. It starts to speed up, so the ticking starts to speed up. I like that the watch face, it says Strucker, Swiss made, and Hydra, and then 1,000 meters with a Hydra emblem right below the dial, which kind of looked like the way that the hands of the clock were situated. It kind of reminded me of the ship that Captain America in the first Avenger that Steve Rogers ended up crashing into the Arctic. The tagline for the commercial is, he'll make time for you, like he will make time for you, but it's a contraction, he'll. And who is he? And the contraction that appears on the screen kind of makes it look more like hell make time for you. And maybe I'm reaching here, but instead of heel, it seemed like it was almost saying hell, because it seems like, right, the devil is in the details, right? I had a weird thought, and I want credit for it if I'm right on this, but what if the two actors in here, because they're a sideshow right at this point, what if they are Wanda's children? What if these two actors are, quote-unquote, the children, you know, for the children? What if these are her children who are yet unborn and are not even infants yet? But what if these are the children that Mephisto is after? That would be kind of crazy and kind of wild and very weird, I admit. But, you know, there's two of them. I think the twins are supposed to be a boy and a girl. And these two seem to be separated from the universe, but they're still taking part. And I'm just curious if Wanda's even aware of these commercials going on in her head.
Strucker, he'll make time for you.
In the second half of the episode, the talent show is going on. We get to see a couple of the acts briefly. And then Geraldine, who is actually Monica Rambeau, is backstage with Wanda, who's nervous about Vision being late. He shows up and seems drunk. And he's talking about horseshoes. Wanda tries telling him about what happened with Dottie. And before that, probably, she means the helicopter. But Vision gets distracted. And then Wanda's question about what is going on is met by Geraldine saying, you are, meaning it's time for them to act. So either forcefully or just by, you know, coincidence, Geraldine now is the one who's redirecting Wanda. I think it's just Wanda redirecting herself to keep her on task. Now, Dottie's on stage. She thanks everyone from the stage and says, for the children again. It's on the banners. It's on the signs. And when she says it, everyone in the audience chants it back to her.
For the children.
For the children.
Wanda and Vision are then announced as the last act. Geraldine makes another cowboy reference. It's her second one. I didn't mention it before, but she says Vision has a little hitch in his giddy-up earlier, and then you're up, cowboy. When Vision didn't make his entrance. I don't know if Geraldine or Monica Rambeau, makes a lot of those references. I guess we'll see later. Maybe she makes a lot of cowboy references. He misintroduces himself as Glamour and Wanda as Illusion, which may be an on-the-nose mistake. Maybe he's part of the Glamour and Wanda is the Illusionist, but she corrects him. And again, I'm not sure if that it's significant that she says out loud that she is Glamour and he is Illusion, but she makes a point to say it. Then he says, Today we will lie to you, and yet you will believe our little deceptions because human beings are easily fooled due to their limited understanding of the inner workings of the universe, which is, again, it's one of those things where maybe because he's not drunk, but seems to be drunk, that he's telling the truth a little bit too much. He says, flourish, as he does a flourish, to which she says, you just do it. You don't say it out loud, honey. So maybe that's in reference to her magic or what's going on, that you don't say it out loud, you just do it. Or maybe it's just a line in the show, but I pick out everything that I notice. He says he and Wanda will delight in their dumbstruck little faces, and then he levitates himself. The audience seems confused and baffled, like amazed. But Wanda sees Dottie, who is not amused at all, so then she makes it appear that he was being lifted up by a rope contraption with her magic. So it's very odd, because I guess she's counting on them all focusing on him levitating, and then inserts her magic because of the glamour. Him being the glamour at this point, she's able to use her magic out in the open without people noticing it. Or, maybe that's what we're supposed to understand. Vision doesn't appear to want to go on with the program, so he ends up lifting a piano. He seems almost mad that Wanda did that. So Wanda walks over and uses magic to make it look like he's just lifting up a flat board and not a real piano. Jones disappointingly says it was his grandmother's piano. So people know what's going on here a little bit. Vision then goes down to Sherbert. He calls Herbert Sherbert. But Herb, the man who gave him the big red gum, he plays a card trick with him. Now, he seems to fail miserably, except that the very last card in the deck, which you see on the bottom, happens to be his card. It was the King of Spades. Now, I'm not sure if it's significant, but Vision tried the King of Diamonds first, a red card, and then the King of Spades was that last card. You could see when he holds it up. I mean, if you go back and look, and you freeze frame it right when Herb puts it back in the deck, you can see it's a King of Spades, and so then you know that it ends up being on the bottom of the deck. Herb even tells him, hey, you did the trick right, but he doesn't seem to really, Vision doesn't seem to understand, like, this is all part of it. The audience also seems to be warming up to the act. Next trick goes awry. The rabbit, Senor Scratchy, runs out of the hat. Vision turns the trick into him, putting the hat into his stomach and back out by phase shifting. He puts it in with a phase shift and pulls it out. And then Wanda just makes mirrors appear behind the curtains. And then she opens the curtains with her magic. It's the flimsiest of covers, right? Because not only did she magically put mirrors behind the scenes when they weren't there. Now, they wouldn't know that. But she makes the curtains appear, and she didn't pull a string or anything like that. They just, come open immediately, and the audience mostly accepts the premise. Even though Bev, Dottie's committee planner from earlier, questions, is that how mirrors work? Dottie tells her to shut up. So it's like at every moment when people are supposed to question reality, someone or something is there to just sound like, just go with it. Vision then announces the final trick, summons the Mind Stone emblazoned Magnet of Crysteries, the Cabinet of Mysteries, and Wanda wheels it out, corrects him. Vision says he'll make his wife disappear. Agnes interjects, maybe at the thought of Wanda disappearing from the reality, but she takes another opportunity to bring up her husband, Ralph, that we haven't seen. She asks, if you don't want an audience member instead, but he's not in the audience. So we don't get to see Ralph unless he's there and is another character, right? Or if he's with her or is her, one of those kinds of things. Like, she keeps bringing up Ralph, but we don't see him. And it's a trope for the TV shows. But in this case, it might be important because Ralph may be somebody who's actually important, and her quote-unquote husband may be behind all of this, maybe not in this universe, but maybe outside of it. Again, if she is Agatha Harkness, Agnes then would be, one of the minions of Mephisto. So Vision says abracadabra, taps on the cabinet, but Wanda's not inside. So the audience starts chanting, "What's in the box? What's in the box?" Very strange. So Wanda magics Monica Rambeau, sorry, Geraldine, into the cabinet from backstage. And the audience loves the trick. So Wanda and Vision go backstage. Vision says he's feeling weirdy all day, which is just probably Paul Bettany's strange, phrasing. But it could be something that was written in there by the writers of the show for on purpose. Wanda does some magic hand gesture, and we see an animation again of his inner workings. But she does a thing with her hands that, you know, is clearly magic. So she sees the gum, and then the gum unsticks from his gears and comes up to his mouth, and then we see him, not in animated form anymore, he spits it out. So, you know, Wanda degummed the works, and they end up trying to sneak away, but Dottie sees them, and she awards them with the inaugural comedy performance of the year, and everyone stands and cheers. Geraldine's on stage with them, and she says, "How did you do the trick?" They won't tell her. And then Norm shouts out,
"For the children! For the children!"
Everyone repeats it again. So, again, they're always trying to pepper them with, "For the children, for the children." We go back at home, to their home, Vision and Wanda's home. And they have a chit-chat about some of the events that takes place. Wanda says it wasn't so hard fitting in at all. Vision remarks all they had to do was be themselves, which is what Wanda suggested earlier to Agnes, but was Wanda was laughed off. Wanda says, of course, with a few modifications. Vision starts to say, and it was
for the children.
All for the children. And Wanda chimes in, perfect timing this time, with for the children. They both chant it at the same time. And then at that moment, she says, "I think the children might need some popcorn." By itself, just a funny line from someone who's hungry. But it maybe it's literally her children who have just popped into existence in her uterus wanting popcorn. And I say that because when she stands up, she's got a baby bump. It's Wanda. She's magic. That could have been something that could have been a trigger. When she stands up, she got the bump. Vision calls her attention to it. She asks almost breathlessly, like, "Vision, is this really happening?" He answers, "Yes, my love, it's really happening." They hear a noise outside, though. And Vision gets real angry, like says, if that tree again. And they walk outside. A manhole cover is removed from below. And it looks like a beekeeper with bees surrounding him emerges from the hole. And just as he turns to them, Wanda says, "No." And then she like rewinds reality. They did not have VCRs or VHSs or anything like that, VHS machines back then. But she rewinds reality here. And it kind of looks reminiscent to me of rewinding a VHS tape. They go right back to the moment she asks Vision, "Is this really happening?" He repeats, "Yes, my love, it's really happening." But there's no noise this time. So she's going through with this plot point. And she doesn't want to allow the outside world to ruin what she's got. She doesn't, now that she's got children, she's protecting them, Mama Bear style, right? She then sees Vision's face start to turn red in color with the yellow Mind Stone in his forehead. So she saw a red and yellow helicopter earlier. Now she's starting to see him in color. And then the world around her starts to turn colorized. The aspect ratio also changes slowly, and the voice from the radio is back. It asks, "Who is doing this to you, Wanda?" Just like episode one, the image of them kissing at the show close is surrounded by a hexagon or the Mind Stone. And the last shot of the episode is a please stand by full screen image as the credit sequence begins.
No.
Very, very packed episode with lots of Easter eggs, I'm sure, many of which I'm sure I missed. But it appears that the world's being controlled by Wanda, but maybe she is in turn, like maybe she's the creator of the world, but someone's controlling her or duping her. She's the creator, or she's maybe, we're not really sure if she's the illusion or she's the glamour. You know what I mean? Maybe she's the illusionist in this world creating it, but she's not seeing what's going on because someone's putting a glamour on her. It seems to be all designed to conjure her children into existence. Now, I say conjure because I don't know how Marvel's, biology works, but Vision is a machine. And yes, they could maybe have relations there in the opening, the cold open there. But A, it was one day, and she's already got a fully formed baby bump. And B, I just think that based on the comics that she's supposed to have created her own children with her magic. And someone's trying to get that to happen so that they can siphon off her magic from her. Agnes seems to be part of the conspiracy, and she seems to have some agency in it. I don't know if she can do magic herself, but maybe she can influence magic. Maybe she's got some really strong the power of persuasion, so to speak. And Geraldine, Monica Rambeau, Maria's daughter, is supposed to be from the outside world. So that's a clue that the people in this reality could all be real people. Maybe they're all part of the conspiracy from the beginning. Maybe they're people who have tried to come in and help her and they've been drafted by the other being. Maybe by Agnes or another person like her. Maybe Herb or Norm is in on it as well. Or maybe they're just victims. They all seem to be performing in a way that keeps the illusion going, though. We've only seen two episodes. They were both released on the same day. But the plot seems to be heavy on children. From the trailers and the baby bump at the end of the episode, we know that they're on their way. And if Vision isn't real in the real world and just conjured, what would the children be anyways? Like, if Wanda can create Vision and Vision is not part of this fake reality, right? She wanted him so bad that she created him. She's got power to actually not bring him back to life, but recreate him, and not just a shell of him, like down to the smallest detail, she recreated Vision. Then I guess she could just do that with the children. She can just imagine them into existence, basically. Now, if Vision is real now that Wanda brought him back, and the children might be real as well, but what's going to happen to them if they're subjected to her magic to grow fast? Like, are they going to suffer an effect because they're basically, not only are they children, but they're not going to be nurtured by her as a mother. They're going to at some point be fast-tracked into growing and easily imprintable, I guess, or are they going to take parts of her personality or her brother's personality? It's not really clear what's going to be the motivation of the children then, because if they are devices or puppets to be used by Mephisto or some other entity, what is it that they can provide other than siphoning off? Maybe every time she uses part of her magic, it's gone. Maybe that's part of the thing, is that they knew that the creation of this universe and the creation of her children is going to rapidly deplete her power. Maybe that's it. But all of this has to matter, right? Because Vision died outside the universe. And if they're just created beings by Wanda, and there's no consequence, then she's like a god. She's got the power to create souls. Or is it happening only in this universe because that's what the devil wants? Two beings without souls that Wanda creates. So it's not really sure, like, can Vision make the jump to the real world? Or is he stuck there? These other people, if they tried to now leave the world, are they gone? Because clearly you can come in, but we haven't seen necessarily what happens if you go out. Where I'm assuming that she actually rewound time, and that the beekeeper, if he is from the outside universe, didn't get out. But maybe somebody has been coming in and coming out, and they're trying to leave these breadcrumbs for her to find her way out. You know, maybe they tried brute force at first, and now they're trying the sneaky way. You know, maybe because they have seen this before in the outside universe.
Are you sure you don't want an audience volunteer named My Husband Ralph? Oh.
The first episode, a mid-50s to early 60s, because the Dick Van Dyke Show was kind of an inspiration at some point. So, and I think the Dick Van Dyke Show didn't debut until the 60s. I'm not sure. This was like a mid-60s to early 70s take. I mentioned Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie, and those shows, I think Bewitched came first, and then I Dream of Jeannie came a season later. And they were very similar with their, I mean, they, it's almost like the writers just kind of copied each other back and forth on those shows. So I wonder then, since this season ended with color coming in, if we're going to see like a Brady Bunch mid-70s, early 80s time frame in episode 3, then do we see a maybe a mid-80s Family Ties Growing Pains episode 4? And then do we see like TGIF, a mid-90s close, like a Full House or something like that? You know, like what are we going to see in the next few episodes? And when do they get to the actual plot that's happening on? Because I don't think they can keep this going on forever. The end of one shows in the trailers, there's got to be some time that we're going to see the outside world based on the trailers and the screens, the images that we've seen. From the trailers, it appears that we're going to get at least one more episode where we're left in the sitcom world, maybe more than one. Maybe that sitcom world goes on. Maybe it's a pocket universe. But again, from the trailers, it looks like it's occupying real space. And so maybe the people in that space or who existed in that space before she got there are victims. From the trailers, again, it appears that we get at least one more episode where we're left in the sitcom world without Wanda or us having a clear vision of what's going on. I mean, I think they're really setting up for us, based on what I've heard from critics and stuff, that these first three episodes are going to be setting up the dilemma for her, that this is really about getting her to have children and then stealing those children away, and that's the setup for the later episodes. But what do you think? Email us. This is thewayphase4@gmail.com. Interact on Twitter @thewayphase4. I want to mention before we go, episode 2 is directed by Matt Shakman, like episode 1, but this one was written by Gretchen Enders, and I checked her bio. Didn't seem like there was anything that stood out to me. It wasn't like she wrote on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything like that. And again, this episode came out January 15th, the same day the series debuted. And episode 3 is coming out Friday, January 22nd. So that's coming up very soon. Thanks for joining me today. This has been This is the Way Phase 4's discussion of Season 1, Episode 2 of WandaVision in the Marvel Cinematic and TV Universe. I'm Steve Laskowski, your host. Until next time, friends.